pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two now underway. Thank you so much for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line, that's how you get in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. Still to come on the program, get you up to date here. State Representative Brian Brynjark, he's a new member from Tuscaloosa, took the Cal South seat. We'll hear from him. Danny Garrett, the House Education Trust Fund chairman, tentatively set to join us. If he is unable, we have a fill-in guest. But also, we'll wrap it up in the 11 o'clock hour. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. So jam-packed show from here on out. You want to make sure that you stick around for that. But joining us now, is it has been a while, Representative, but we've talked in the past. But you got a little pep in your step these days. But I'm pleased to introduce State Representative Steve Klaus to the program. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Thank you, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Hey, thanks for making time and coming on the show. So, how's it been? You know, you're no longer general fund chairman, but that's a lot of weight off your shoulders, I assume. But what else you been up to?
Well, of course, I haven't been since this is the second session where I have not been the chair of the general fund. I was chair 10 years previous to that, so it was a real heavy lift there, particularly during the times between, I would say, 14 and 17, 18, where we were fighting and scratching to find nickels and dimes underneath the couch to level fund a general fund budget that was, you know, $250 million in the hole. And so we came through all that and set up some good parameters there for the general fund budget by raising the amount of percentage that the general fund gets on the use tax versus going to the education budget. And then, of course, the big lift was the SSUT, the Simplified Right. Sellers Use Tax, that when we set it up, we were never sure that we were able to utilize or capture any of those funds unless either Congress got involved, which, of course, they never did, or unless the Supreme Court would take up a case and revisit it, which they did with South Dakota versus Wayfair. And that set everything in motion. And so we were fortunate, us and 13 other states sort of formed a consortium to be ready to go if that decision came through, and it did. And we hit the ground running and beat a lot of states to the punch. Now most states are capitalizing on those funds now.
Well, I mean, more broadly, Representative, I mean, you got to be proud of your work here. Coming out of 2010, Republicans take over, and the books have always been a mess. Proration, I mean, just every other year or so, and, you know, spending beyond the state's means, but it's not like the federal government. You can't just print money. And you guys get in, and it took you a few years, but you sort of got the financial health of the state in a good place. Get that credit rating in a good place. I mean, that took a lot of discipline and a lot of hard conversations, I would have to think.
Well, it did. Before Republicans got the majority, we were going into proration, averaging one out of every 3 years, which is a terrible situation for local school boards because the only thing you can do is cut non-tenured teachers. You can't cut salaries. And so all you can do is cut non-tenure teachers, and that does away with some courses that are extracurricular. So right. You end up hurting the students there. But we end up putting that rolling reserve in. Very, very tough lift back in 2011. We fought tooth and nail by AEA on that because they wanted to spend everything that we had and, you know, just hope that the economy was able to keep going at a rapid rate, and that and the sales tax and income tax dollars would come in to meet those appropriations. And of course, that's fine during good economic times, but when the economy goes down like it did in 08 and 09, I mean, it puts you in a terrible situation. So the Rolling Reserve has been great. We haven't gone into proration on education budget since then. And then several years ago, myself and Clyde Chambliss in the Senate, we set up what we call, I like to call it a mini Rolling Reserve in the general fund, which sets some criteria to put dollars away in the general fund. And we've got over $100 million in that fund right now. So and we haven't been in proration in the general fund either.
Well, and talk about this. One of the big things I remember, the way this the present situation has sort of gone, and you guys made a really great case, I thought, when during that special session a few years back, that you had this surplus, and you had this CARES Act, or what was the CARES Act? It was the one after that, money, ARPA money.
Right.
And you had this money, and then you were going to be able to go to market bond, and you weren't going to have to borrow as much money as maybe any other circumstances. But, boy, the cost for the prisons just really went in place. No one had to see. Did y'all even think that was a possibility at the time?
Well, I don't think anybody realized, not only with prisons, but the cost of construction on anything, whether it be a home or a commercial building or whatever, would have skyrocketed like it did. So, but yeah, we passed what we gave the finance department the ability to borrow up to $785 million, and they were only able to borrow $509 million when we went to market, and it wasn't because of the protesters protesting before the brokers that
just sell, interest rates were yeah where they
interest
were.
Rates were up. It was not a good time there, and so we got $509 million from the bond market. We put another $155 million from surplus from the general fund in there, and then $400 million from the ARPA funds. So if we hadn't had that $400 million come from ARPA, we really would be in trouble right now.
Well, and I guess the question is this, and I know you're not general fund chairman anymore, but I mean, is it even plausible that, be it this administration or the next, have to come back to you guys for more money to build that second prison, the way things have escalated?
Well, we still have that authority there to that difference there between the 585 and the 509. To go back to the bond market and see if we could sell some more of those bonds. So we can raise approximately another $330 million. But, you know, we will need that plus some additional money from the general fund, which we have that right now, not the total amount, but we can chip away at it with, you know, we did $100 million last year on that budget, and we probably need to do another $100 million. I think we can get somewhere in the $600 million range. I don't know that we'll be able to build the type capacity prison that we had planned on building, but we've got to do that, and it's, you know, we've got the property there in Escambia County, and we've got to do it because we got that a federal lawsuit that's coming up this year that's been going on for 10 years now.
Do you think this is going to be kind of the trend in state government? Some of these big capital projects, I mean, highways and roads or rebuild, I mean, that just the reality, the way inflation's gone, there's going to be, and it's kind of going on in the consumer market with the shrinkflation, just not going to get the bang for your dollar what you had set aside in the past.
Well, it doesn't appear we're going to, unless we just, unless a big recession hits and right. Something we don't want that causes prices to go down, you know.
Well, the other thing about it is, Representative, the marketplace and like labor, and it's more expensive, yes, and the materials, but it's just there's just not as much available on the market, right? Like getting a contractor to do something, and you just don't. I mean, you can't snap your fingers anymore because
along those lines, and this is coming from the ARPA funds, where we've got all this water and sewer work that's we have to have finished. We've appropriated the money from the ARPA funds, but it has to be finished by the end of 2026. That sounds like a long time off, but when you're competing with all the other states, particularly in Alabama, we're competing with Florida and Georgia, Mississippi and Tennessee for a limited amount of companies who have a limited amount of employees and a limited amount of supply, sewer products and water products. It's going to be a heavy lift. And of course that plays into all the other construction companies vying for these employees, you know.
Yeah, and so that's like one of these problems, I guess. I don't know how you prepare for it, but it's just the way it's played out. You hear that so much, and I guess the state's confronted with those same challenges.
Well, they are, and I don't think we're going to, you know, a lot of the money we spent on rural broadband, we will be able to spend that. The money that was allocated to the hospitals and nursing homes, they've already spent it. So, but the water and sewer products projects, I think there will be a lot of them that will not be completed. A lot of folks say that Washington will extend that timeline. I don't think they will. They realize, Democrats and Republicans alike, that they overshot the runway on that ARPA funding and the infrastructure bill, and they're going to try to claw back as much of that money as they can.
Yeah, because it was such a big number, and they just getting money out the door for the sake of COVID, and well, here we are. It's not COVID anymore, right?
That's right.
Now, well, it remains to be seen how that's going to play out. I do have just a few more minutes here with you. How are things going back at home in your district?
Well, everything's fine right now. You know, Bub, the economy's good in the Wiregrass. You know, we're anchored by Fort Novosel, and of course, big and still in the farming business. Been down in Dothan. It's become such a health care center there for not only South Alabama, but for Northwest Florida and over into Southwest Georgia. So it's a big medical industry there.
This new congressional district, kind of a disruption. I mean, what?
No, I think so. It's very, very confusing for the people in the Wiregrass in particular, because there's so many candidates running in district, district one, not that many candidates, but in district two there are. And of course, our media market, the NBC stations, WSFA, which carries all the
Montgomery
the district two candidates. And then on the CBS and ABC affiliate, they're carrying the district one candidates. So it's really confusing. People don't know, in the counties down there, which district they're in.
Well, we got the same problem. I mean, one and two, and
that's right.
And Florida, I guess a little bit of Florida, for some of those stations as well.
But yeah, probably over in Covington County, it probably is.
You don't have but you don't really have a contested congressional race in either one or two in Florida. So you're stayed all from that. But other than that, the economy's going good. It's just it seems like you talk about the Wiregrass these days. I mean, it does seem like it's got a little more energy surrounding it, you know, than maybe the way you used to talk about it in the past. But it's just a matter of me being exposed to it. But the helicopters and the fort there, that's got to be like a big part of it.
It is. And the city of Dothan, it's become a really sort of a little hotbed. I mean, it's not like Madison County or Baldwin County, but it's really had a lot of growth in Houston County in the last.
The mayor of Dothan told me this, and this may be one of these, that time we did it at the show at Troy State there. But he said, like, it becomes like the population of the city like triples during work hours because everybody comes to Dothan.
That's right. There's a lot of bedroom communities around Dothan. You know, several of the towns in Dale County where I live, are a lot of our folks work in Dothan and live in the surrounding communities. And
well, that's good to hear. Representative, you've been very generous with your time. You've always been good to this program. I always appreciate you. You're a good man. And best of luck to you. Hopefully we can talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right. That was State Representative Steve Klaus here on the program. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
You turn me up the cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.